take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is where we're going to start. We're going to do a little traveling around again. We've been looking, making a new commitment since the beginning of the year. Since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at renewing commitments to God. Renewing our commitments to God about our body, the way that we treat the body that He has given to us. If you're here and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so your body belongs to God, not only by way of His making it, but also by way of Him purchasing you completely through Jesus Christ. Not only this, but we see that we need to honor God and make really a new commitment to God with our minds. The way that we think through things and sometimes the things that we think are wrong or bad. Sometimes the things that we think are inappropriate. And so we need to renew the way that we think about God and about others and about ourselves. Also, along with that, we need to think about, let the mind control our mouth. Make a new commitment to God about our mouth. We are very quick to speak. And it gets us in trouble because we don't let God help us in the way we say things and what we say as well. You know, along with this, we talked a little bit about time in the Bible reading today. And in the aspect of time, we need to make sure that we are diligent, using our time wisely for the Lord. Today, looking at mastering money, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon," it said, mammon or money. God has designed that we need to worship Him, honor Him by the way we use what He's given to us. Think about it. Today is the Super Bowl. You got the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. And they're going to go out there and fight to the near death for a ring and for a trophy. That's all they're going to get. Maybe a few minutes of fame. That few minutes of fame, what good is it going to do them? Most of you, some of you don't even care now. Most of you in 5 years won't even remember who won. And nobody's life will be significantly changed. Oh, it might be a life-changing experience for them for a little short while. And they'll always have the pride of being able to say that they did it. But what life was saved in the process of it? What person completely turned their life around from sin and despair to a life that honors God? That's not going to happen. So here they put all that sweat and toil and tears into what? Into a child's game. That's going to be fun to watch. Not only will it be fun to watch, it'll be fun to eat all the garbage that we're going to have while you watch it. But in the whole aspect of everything, what benefit, real benefit is there? They're going to put every little effort, not just in the big plays, but every footfall, and in every yard, they're going to put there. What if we put that much toil and effort as the coaches and the players, hours and hours preparing? What if we put that much effort into managing what God has given to us as far as resources go? What would it look like if we did that? We have put an improper view on money. We think that money runs the world. Well, in some aspects it does. If you want something, you got to buy it. If you're hungry, what do you have to do? Go to the grocery store and buy it. We make all our decisions based on money, don't we? Are we going out to eat? Well, can we afford it? If we can afford it, do we want to put the money out for it? We do it that way, don't we? What about going to the doctor? Sometimes you make a decision whether or not to go to the doctor because you're wondering, do I have the money for it? Or do I want to go to a specialist when I can go to a general doctor because the general doctor would be cheaper? We make decisions constantly on money. We work in order to get money. We have the things that we have, our homes, our cars, everything that we have is based on money. And when our wallet is empty, but we could be so proud because look at the house that we have. It looks just like yours, doesn't it? And not only the house, but our car, or the things that we eat, the things that the bills that we pay, the where we go out to eat, or other kinds of entertainment, the IRS, don't forget about them. Don't forget, they'll remind you pretty quickly here. And also other forms of entertainment that we participate on. All those things are based on money. Your whole life, if you look at your life, it centers around money. But the thing that happens so easily is that we make money number one instead of God. We're more apt to go to work than we are to read our Bible and pray. We're more apt to go and see, investigate how much it's going to cost to buy something of good quality than it is for us to look at a passage of Scripture and really study and apply to our lives. You see, many times we make God our master instead of us mastering our money. How do we master our money? We're going to look at six ways to master your money. The first one is to know that God is the provider. God is the one who provides what you have. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. That is for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. God has given riches and wealth. It is God who's given. Now, how has God given it to you? Didn't your boss employ you? Doesn't the government, the one that gives you a check? Do we not comprehend the fact that God gives us the skills that we need to be able to work? God, by His grace, we get the job that we desire, or the job that we're able to get, that we get the pay that we get. It is by God's hand. It's indirect in the sense of God doesn't come down to earth and tell the employer, okay, look, here he is, you have to hire him. It's not quite exactly that way. But God does put in that person's heart that you are the man or the woman for the job. God is the one who's providing for you. We see that in the fact that those, and if you look in Scripture, those who have gone against God and made great claims of all that they have, if you're in the men's Sunday school class, sorry ladies, you missed out. In the men's Sunday school class this morning, we see Hezekiah does that. Look what I got! And all it takes is, just down the line, everything's taken away. It's not his lifetime, but it is taken away. God makes clear that he is doing that in proportion to the fact of Hezekiah's pride and showing off of all that Israel has, or Jerusalem, Judea has. We need to recognize when God is, what we have is from God and not just from ourselves. So the first thing we have to know, realize, is that God is the provider. He's the one that provides what you have, whether it's the millions or whether it's the single dollar bills. It is by God's hand. Along with that, though, God makes you a steward of what He has given to you. You're responsible for what you have. You see, this man here is getting a medal. Because of what he has done, he is being promoted. He's been faithful in his service. In Matthew chapter 25, we find the parable of the talents. In there, a man was given 5 talents, a man was given 2 talents, a man was given 1 talent. Now, the word talent, you're thinking ability, but the word is actually just straight from the Greek word, talent, and it's a coin, it's money. They're given sums of money. And the wise ones, the one that got 5, the one that got 2, they invest what they have while the master goes. And the one with just 1, he says, well, I'm going to do is I'm going to take and bury this. So when the master comes back, I'll say, see, I have kept what's yours. But when the master comes back, he says, wait a minute. Now the one that had 5, when he gives an account, he says, I invested it, here's 5 more. And the one with 2, he says, I've invested it, and here's 2 more. And what does the master say to them? He says this, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You were faithful in the little bit. I'm going to make you faithful in much. The one that had only 1 amount of money, he came and said, see, I got what you wanted. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. You didn't properly use what I gave you. You didn't handle it well. And so in the end, he takes it away from him, the little bit that he had. It's a lesson on stewardship for us. It helps us see that God does make us responsible for what He's given to us. So if you're given $100, you know that you need to take care of that $100 in the right way, so in the end you've not spent $150. It's a good thing not to follow the government practice of just, if you don't have enough, just make more. We can't do that. If you don't have enough, they take your house and your car. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to be a good and faithful servant in everything that we handle, and including our finances. Third, God wants you to worship Him by giving to Him first. Now here's a hard thing for many people to really grasp hold of, and find the truth in Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Here, the wisest man on earth, Solomon, he is writing and he says, give back to God. We find the principle all the way back with Abraham. When he is given victory by God's gracious hand, what does he do? He takes 1/10 of all that he has, that he gained, and he gave it to God by giving it to Melchizedek the priest. We find the same thing happen afterward with Jacob. We find the same principle, the command given, the Old Testament law, but that command superseded in the New Testament with the command to give cheerfully. God wants us to honor Him. I remember seeing a cartoon. I couldn't find it. A cartoon where there's a man sitting at a table and he's got in his hand a potato. And that potato he's got sitting there in his hand, he also has 9 more. Piled up beside him. The old man, he looks at the potato, the one potato, and he says, 1 potato out of 10. The idea of tithing. He says, it's only one potato. He had nine more left over. This message isn't about you tithing. This message is about you honoring God. I want you to understand God Himself tells us that He wants us to take care of what He's given to us. He's provided it. He wants us to take excellent care of it. Use it wisely. And the first thing He wants you to do is to give back to Him. You know, we don't put a big emphasis here at Parkland Baptist Church on giving. We bring up when it is appropriate with a passage that we happen to be studying, or if there's a special need. But I don't know, especially our visitors, if you notice, we don't pass a plate around. We have a box in the back, and people give as God leads them. That's the way God wants us to give, as He burdens in your heart to give. What about the other nine potatoes? What do you do with those? Well, the first thing you need to know is that debt is not your friend. I remember being in school and hearing, even after being in school, hearing as recently the economy has been talked about in the news over and over. And there was a point where people were saying the best way to get out of a financial bind is to spend more money. Adults saying this. And I thought, how in the world does that work? If I have 5 cents to my name, why should I spend 10 cents? What benefit is it going to do me? It will get me further in debt. We find in the Proverbs, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Isn't that true? If you have bills that you have to pay, you're their servant. For example, the electric bill. You can try it once and see what happens if you like. Don't pay your bill for a while. And find out if they own you. If they control you. Sure they do. They control whether or not you get electricity. As soon as they shut it off, you're going to be saying to yourself, well, you know what? I think I better start paying my bill. And you really are a slave to the electric company. If you have credit card bills, if you owe on your house or your car, there's some of that debt is not necessarily outrageous to have. Most people can't go and pay cash for a whole house. But you can still be wise with what kind of house you buy, how much debt you get into, how well you pay off your debt. There's other debts that we go into because we want to. Remember when you first got that credit card? What did you want to do? You wanted to go shopping. And do you know why stores love when you use a credit card instead of cash or a debit card? Studies show you spend 20% more than you normally would. Oh, it's just a little bit more. Debt is not your friend. As quickly as you can, you get out of debt. Just think of how much money, extra money you would have if you didn't have to put it towards maybe if you owe money to the doctors, or you owe money to the credit card bills, or if you didn't have that house payment. That'd be cash in your pocket, or the government's pocket, one or the other. That's not your friend. As believers, we need to recognize part of being a good steward is making sure that whatever debt we incur, that we get out of it as quickly as possible. I find in the Old Testament, especially, debt was not condemned by God. But what was condemned is not paying back the debt. And not only that, it was wise to get out of it as quickly as possible. And that is the way our attitude should be towards that. How do we do that? We manage what we have. We spend with the future in mind. Now here, I'm using the New International Version. I generally use the New King James Version, as you know, because many of you have the Old King James and many of you have the New King James. It's easier to follow along that way. For our visitors with the New King James, it's a little simpler English. Here the NIV does a very good job at clarifying a little better this verse. It's okay in the New King James, the Old King James, but in the New International Version it says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." How do we spend our money? Do we think about the future? The fool doesn't think about the future. He lives paycheck to paycheck, not by necessity, but by choice. Well, just think of all the stuff I could have. Look, this is not my house, okay? I just want you to know that. The picture there with the desk and the computer and then all the stuff that's around there. I don't know if they're books or computer programs or however. I saw something on the in the newspaper, a guy that had, I think he had purchased almost every single board game that was out there to purchase. I don't know if you saw the article, he just had shelves and shelves full of games, board games. If a person's got the money, that's one thing. But if we're not mindful of the future, I want you to understand something. I don't know if you realize this. Your car is going to have mechanical issues. Not only is your car going to have mechanical issues, you're going to have to buy a new car. Now, it may not be this year. Maybe for some of you it should have been last year. It may not be this year, it may be 10 years down the road. But if we have in mind, hey, you know what? I'm going to have to purchase a car, and I'm going to do is start saving up for that time. We need to think ahead to the near future. You're going to have to go to the dentist or the doctor this year. So you're using your money, spending in a way that you're still saving for the future. It might be something far down the line. Hey, you would like to get another different house. You'd like to move to a different place or you'd like a bigger home. Why not start saving now? And if you're spending with the future in mind, we're going to say, well, instead of going out to eat, I can use that $2.19. That's what it costs for me to go eat lunch. You understand? $2.19. I can use that $2.19 and save it and get something else that I might need with it. Or I can save it for something further in the future. Our kids, you give them allowance, and they get all excited, and they will go to the stores. To go to the store, and you know what it's like when you got a kid, and money's burning a hole in their pocket, they just can't get out of there fast enough, and they're looking at all the toys. And we remind them, we said, don't buy something just to buy it. We're teaching them that because as adults, sometimes we do that, don't we? Don't buy it just to buy it. Buy something you really want. And you know what? There's nothing wrong, while we're here in Target looking at all the toys, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I don't see anything here that I want. I'm going to save for something bigger later, or save it till we go to a different store another time and spend it there. Because you have it in your hand doesn't mean you have to give it away. Be mindful about how you spend your money. Spend with the future in mind. Finally, we find the principle in Scripture to give generously. To give generously in helping others. We need to help others, generously help others. We do find principles in Scripture that you give to the poor and the needy. We find it in the book of Acts. We find it in the book of Acts chapter 4, the very end. There were people in great need, but a lot of the believers, because they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, some of them were losing their jobs. There was widows that, different than our day, there wasn't government assistance. There was no backup plan. You had to rely on family and friends. And we find in Acts chapter 4 that what would happen is that those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say anything that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. This is not communism. This was all voluntary. And then with great power, the apostles witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and they great price upon them. Nor did anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, that they distributed to each one as they had need. That's Acts chapter 4, 32, and you go all the way through 37. There we find that the people saw needs and met them, even to the point that they were selling property. They were selling land. They were selling not only land, they were selling houses. These were probably extra that they had, and they sold them. And the reason that they sold them was to be able to provide for others. When we are blessed with what we have, we should keep in mind other people. How can we help them? How can we help meet their needs? We're still considering, I'm spending right, I'm saving for the future. And our generosity doesn't have to be with much money. Our generosity doesn't have to be, well, now that I'm a millionaire, I can give. What we find is that the giving that took place even back in the Bible times, some people were very poor, and yet they would give to help. The Macedonians were that way. When we find needs, especially among fellow believers, we need to do what we can to help them. We have a deacon's fund. If you know, on the envelope there, when you give your offering, if you want some to go to the deacon's fund, if you want to give to the deacon's fund to help other people, then that's where that money designated goes. It is not to just, you know, for the church purposes. It goes forward helping other believers. So it's important as we look here, I want you to see that God has given us commands and principles in Scripture about how to master our money. You see, what happens is when we don't master our money, we allow it to master us. We don't think that happens. But if you look in your checkbook and you see where all the money goes, you're going to find a lot of it goes for your own pleasure, for your own good. Maybe some of the needs that we have are not quite as much of a need as we think it is. We have to have this. Have to have this. That's what our kids do at Christmas time. They see it on TV. Mom, Dad, I have to have that. And we're wise enough to let them know, no, you don't have to have that. But then we get and go to the store and we see something at the store that we have to have. And sometimes we allow the fact that we have the money in our hand master our decision rather than using God's word and His principles to guide us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 again, we read, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I hope that you allow that verse to really set into you. Remember what Jesus says as he is speaking on in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things, you're worried about what you're going to eat and you're worried about what you're going to wear, all these things will be added to you. Make God priority in your life above all else. Use His word as a guide on how you are going to use what God has graciously given to you. And you will see His hand of blessing. It may not be a hand of blessing as in you making your millions, but it'll be a hand of blessing and the peace that you have at home, the contentment, the joy, because you recognize what you have is a gift from God. And you're going to honor Him by using it well for Him. This morning as we talk about mastering our money and making God first in your life, if you're here today, and you know that you're a sinner, you've done things that don't honor God, and you recognize because of your sin, God says He can't let you into His heaven. If you realize that Jesus sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die and take the full penalty for your sin, and came back to life so you could go to heaven if you put your trust in what he has done and accept him as your Savior. If you've not done that, that's something you need to do. You could be the best money manager on the planet. On Judgment Day, it won't matter. Those of you that have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have His Holy Spirit and His Word to guide us. Let's use that in making those wise decisions that we might honor Him. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would help us, that we would indeed be wise servants for You. Lord, we thank You indeed. You do give us all that we have. The jobs that we have, the income that we get, whether it's from the jobs or other sources. Lord, I ask that You would bless each one here with the ability to be wise in the way that they master the money that You've given to us. We ask that You will provide for each one's need. We thank You that You're so kind, not to just provide for needs, but even provide extra for us to enjoy. Help us that as we recognize who You are and what You've given to us, that we would be good stewards of what You've given to us. That we would make sure that we're being wise about the debt that we have, that we would spend with the future in mind, that we would be making sure that we're honoring You first with what You've given to us. And Lord, that we will be generous in helping others. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for how You provide for us. And I thank You for what You will do as we seek You. In Jesus' name, amen.